Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I used the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you comfortable in your Christian skin? This is Wretched Radio. Just wondering if you have shalom, peace, you're settled, you're abiding, you're resting, you know who you are, you live your life smoothly, somewhat seamlessly, not that everything goes perfectly, but that you are able to handle it. You're not confused about your status in life here or for eternity. In other words, your Christianity is comfortable. By that, I do not mean that you are passive in the process of sanctification. I mean that you don't have fits about decision making. You aren't troubled by every single thing that you do or don't do. You aren't perpetually worried about whether or not you're actually a Christian. You are just comfortable. Are you? If in you're not, you struggle with decision making. You have a conscience that is perpetually haunted because you are seeing sin in your life and it is leading you to conclude, oh no, I'm not sure that I'm saved, then these analogies are just for you. That's right. Jesus used analogies, illustrations, because they are helpful. I believe that he did it the wisest way by using things in nature, because there's always baggage with an illustration that's taken from a movie or a song. There's connections to it that might be sinful and problematic, but if you're talking about a tree, you're talking about a seed, you're talking about water, it's a pretty safe parable. Furthermore, if you want to use an illustration, the best ideal illustrations you can use are from the Bible themselves. One more reason to not unhitch the Old Testament. If you want to say, when you're feeling like this, instead of saying, you know, it was sort of like the way Chaka Khan sang it. Okay, that might actually have some truth in it, but better would be, take a look at Joseph. Let's read what he said. Let's take a look at his emotions in this. Are you like that? That's a better, safer illustration because it's biblical and it also demonstrates the seamless nature of the Bible. Having said that, I would nevertheless like to offer you these illustrations to perhaps help you get comfortable in your Christian skin. Illustration number one, and I promise to not say all of them like this.
Thank you.
Eventually. Imagine you give your child a set of Legos. They're in their room quietly playing while you are preparing dinner. Your child is upstairs in their room putting together a knick-knack or a paddywhack. And you're thinking, all is well, there's quiet in the home, but unbeknownst to you, your son, your daughter is thinking, I hope I do this right. I hope I put together these Legos well so that Dad loves me. I hope that I can make a really good fire truck out of these Legos so that Mom doesn't kick me out of the house. If you as a parent discovered that is how your child was thinking, how devastated would you be? You would be shredded. Well, no, honey. No. My love for you is not dependent upon your performance. My absolute commitment to you is not determined by how well you do. I love you because I love you. You would be cut to the quick if you thought for a second your child felt that they had to earn your affection. How much more so the Father's love for you? How deep the Father's love? How vast beyond all measure? that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. That is a vast and deep love. And it is so profound, it has to be incumbent upon him and not on our performance. Otherwise, there'd be zippo love for us because we are entirely unlovable. And yet he loves us anyway. And it is steady, it is solid, and it is beyond our imagination because it is grounded in the person of his son. God's love for you is based on his love for the son. You, a rebel by nature, brought into the kingdom of light, in identification, baptized into Christ. And now, because you are hidden in him, God sees you with the same love that he has for the Son. That's a lot. And you think you need to read 4 chapters of your Bible today, otherwise God might love you less. Now, you might need to read 4 chapters in your Bible today. You might need to be getting on it and stepping it up in your prayer life. You might need to start evangelizing more, but the second you start thinking, uh-oh, I haven't done enough today for God, you're confused on 2 levels. Number 1, it does not compromise his love for you when you don't do enough. Number 2, you never do enough. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Do you see the paradox in this and why it's so easy for so many people to get confused? On those days, you want to know the day that you're in bigger trouble? You put your head on your pillow and you go, I done good today. My walk with the Lord was solid. No, it stank. Our gifts to God are not great. We don't do a spanky job. Which leads us to illustration number 2. If you have forgotten how secure you are in God's love for you, you've forgotten that you're on the island of misfit toys. We tend to think, and I get this, God saves us. He radically changes our hearts. He goes about the business of cleaning up the big spills. Tends to be perhaps the sin that even drove you to your knees that God used to help you identify how wretched you are. And it maybe has gone away for the most part. And so we clean up, we go to church, we put on the show, and we all do it. It's all the jokes have been written and performed too many times. The family pulling up in the minivan, shut up, give me my dog. You kids knock it off. Wait till church is over, I'm going to deal with you. Hi, everybody, good morning. He's risen indeed. We do it to varying degrees. And sometimes, perhaps, we delude ourselves into thinking, I actually am doing okay. No, you're not. You're a misfit toy. You're the jack-in-the-box with the broken spring. You're the toy that's missing a leg. You're the tractor that doesn't have a plow. You are not the perfect toy that God picked because, oh, that's just absolute, wow, who could ask for a better person? It's not what happened. He saw you a misfit toy and he placed his love on you anyway. That is not to suggest you haven't improved in a way or two or even 3. But you're still a misfit toy. You're just a broken, sinful, not yet glorified carcass. It's what we are. And you think on a given day I'm doing pretty good. You're not. And it's on those days that perhaps a sin surfaces and you just see it. You're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. You have got a massive amount of sin that you and I, we all carry it with us every single day. Even as I am talking to you, pleading with you to rejoice in the love of God and what he has for you in Christ. My pride reeks. My motivations are off. I'm certain of it. Yeah, they're better than they used to be, but they're not what they should be. I'm a misfit toy. And you are too. And you say, wait a second, I thought this was supposed to make me feel better. It does. Because you are loved anyway. And when you get a glimpse of your misfitness and it drives you to despair or to a lack of assurance, it is because you think you've actually got it pretty much put together. And the reality is we don't. Now, there is somebody out of the tens and tens of people listening to this show going, oh, great. Oh, just great. Another conservative bites the dust. Terrific. Look at the, now we're giving people license to sin. I don't recall doing that. I recall preaching about the love of God because the love of God is based on what the Bible teaches, because that's what the Bible is all about, isn't it? God's goodness on full display in his Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, by dying while we were yet sinning. That is the point of the Bible. And this is not getting squishy. This is to simply proclaim as loudly as possible to those who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, none of this is for you. You're in Christ. God loves misfit toys. And even when you don't put together your Lego set very well, he loves you anyway. And that should cause you to be comfortable in your Christian skin. This is Wretched Radio. Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Let me share a sample from our latest evangelistic resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. Christianity is not a blind faith. It's an eyewitness faith. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. The Man Who Split Time is perfect for any skeptic in your life. Whether it's for evangelizing, giving it to your agnostic friend, or handing out to your youth group, The Man Who Split Time will give you all the answers you need about the deity of Jesus Christ. For more awesome proofs that Jesus is God, all you have to do is visit wretched.org/time and order your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. Get your copies today. Wretched.org/time. That's wretched.org/time.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day. Literally every day, people are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Warning, warning, you are about to step into a trap. This is Wretched Radio. I already warned you, you're going to fall for it anyway. Do you recall reading the book? If you haven't, you should. It is a beating by a fellow named Matthew Mead, the Puritan Matthew Mead, the almost Christian discovered. It is a spiritual drubbing. You will be a Christian speed bag getting rat-a-tat-tatted by this book. It seeks to out false converts, to reveal to those who have been self-deceived or just flat-out deceptive that they are a Christian, to demonstrate, oh, no, you're not. And so Matthew Mead calls his book The Almost Christian Discovered because you can be cleaning up your life. You can be sinning less. But you're almost a Christian. You're not. You're almost. You can be a member of a church. And you're almost a Christian, but you're not actually a Christian.
Ah, well, wait a second, though. I'm trying to clean up, and I am a member of a church.
You can actually love Christians, a mark of being a believer, by the way, in 1 John, and be almost a Christian, but not. Ah, make it stop. And it goes on for chapter after chapter, and just like every other Puritan, subpoint after subpoint after sub, you can be suddenly reading your Bible more because you want to, and you're almost a Christian, but you're not quite. And people recognized, and he rightly understood the criticism of a book like that, that it could cause somebody to get confused about actually being a Christian when they are. So somebody who reads such an intense self-examination of whether or not they're in the faith, it could cause them to wobble. And Matthew Mead rightly responded and said, it might. It could do that. But it won't cause them to lose their faith. Why? Because they're in Christ. They're going to stay in Christ because they're kept in Christ by Christ. And so, yeah, this might wobble some people who are actual believers. But it's worth it because of the problem of false conversions. Amen? Amen, gentlemen.
Amen.
Thank you. You just fell into the trap. If that is true, wouldn't the converse also be true? If you preach about the vastness of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, will that cause a genuine believer to desire to sin more? No, because genuine believers don't desire to sin more. We hate sin. We war against sin, and that is not to suggest we don't sin. We do sin, but we don't like it, and we don't play with it, and we don't live with it and hold hands with it. We mortify it. And so you can preach about the love of Jesus Christ without any concern that a true convert is going to use it as a license to sin. Will a false convert? Yep. But that is not going to stop me, and it shouldn't stop you from preaching and hearing about the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so if you agreed, a genuine believer can't lose their faith with harsh examination preaching, we have to amen. We can't cause somebody who is a Christian to stop being a Christian or to start acting like a rank pagan or to love sin, because they can't and they won't. So with that in mind, I would like to share with you more illustrations to help you feel more comfortable in your Christian skin. For those of you who feel like, I can't even tell you the number of emails that I receive of people. It begins with two words. I'm scared. I get it all the time. I'm scared. I don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't have as much zeal as I used to have. So I don't know that I'm saved. I know that I should be reading my Bible more, but I don't read it as much as I should, so I'm scared. I don't know that I'm saved. Now, there is a distinct possibility that those are signs that you're not, but I would say this. Those two words are key. I'm scared. The false convert isn't scared. The false convert goes, what? I didn't read my Bible enough today? Oh, bummer. They don't care. The true convert does care. And while we should indeed, Matthew, meet ourselves on occasion, examine ourselves to see if we're in the truth, and correct the areas in our life that get revealed to us as they happen, it shouldn't cause us to conclude, oh no, I'm not saved. Recall this illustration? You are a busted up hotel. There you are. And the creaking and the cobwebs are everywhere. Nobody wants to buy you, but along comes Jesus Christ. I'll take it. And he pays an eternal price for it, his life's blood. And what does he do with you? Does he just, bing, magic trick, make the hotel look like a five-star hotel? Is there such a thing as a five-star, four-star, whatever? You're the Park Avenue Hotel all of a sudden. Nope, not how he operates. You are positionally perfect in Christ, but you're not yet. And so he enters you by the power of his Holy Spirit, cleans up the foyer, gets rid of those big, ugly sins that everybody perhaps sees. He's nowhere near done. Now he starts going into room after room after room and shining his flashlight. And here's what happens sometimes to the wobbly-kneed Christian. The Holy Spirit opens up a door, on goes his flashlight to reveal a sin in you, and you conclude, oh no, I had no idea, I'm not saved. No, it means you're being sanctified, which leads us to another illustration. If you have forgotten how unsanctified you are, remember Adolf Hitler. I took this from R.C. Sproul. You have to use your imagination on this because it's a visual. R.C. Sproul is on his platform, this stage at a conference. And he took people from the audience, and he had an individual illustrate. This person is playing, if you will, Jesus Christ. Way over here on the left side of the stage, there's Jesus Christ in his perfect holiness. On the far right side of the stage, some poor guy got picked to play Adolf Hitler. There he is, way over on the other side of the stage. The vast distance between the two. Then he took a third person and said, this is the Apostle Paul. Where would you put him? Where would you put him? On that continuum of Adolf Hitler to Jesus Christ. Most people would go, probably closer to Jesus. And R.C. Sproul put him right next to Adolf Hitler. His sanctification, the Apostle Paul's holiness, is negligible compared to Jesus. We are that far away. We are that not holy. And you say, wait a second. I again am thinking you're supposed to be encouraging me here to be comfortable in my Christian skin. Here's the key. You're in Christ. You're seen as holy. And you are loved anyway, despite your lack of holiness. Your good gifts are still tainted. Your good deeds still reek of wrong motives. Your sense of perfection is woefully exaggerated in your own noggin. Mine is too, believe me. And we need to remember, I'm not all that. I'm nowhere near what I should be in Jesus Christ. And yet, he loves me. And yet, he keeps me. And yet, he patiently, incrementally moves me along that spectrum despite me. That will keep you humble, and it will keep you secure, because your position in Christ is not based on your sanctification. It's based on him. Can't you rest in that? Can't you find the joy in that? Maybe you struggle with loving the love of God because there's something inside of you that just, you struggle with it. I can't be loved. Nobody can love me like that. Can I just encourage you to figure out a way to get through that? I don't know if it's spending time with a counselor. I don't know if it's time, seriously, dealing with childhood issues. I don't know. But would you fight to push through that and just accept it? That despite the fact that you are on the island of misfit toys, that you're slightly more sanctified than Adolf Hitler, that you don't make a good Lego product, he loves you anyway. Do you think you need to make the dean's list? Is that your issue? You think, if I'm going to be accepted by God, I've got to get a 3.5 or above. And on those days when you think you got a 3.49, you're in a panic. Here's a blast of information for you. You never get a 3.49. You're deceived when you think you do that well. Want another blast of information? You've been given a 4.0! You are on the dean's list. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can it get any better than that? And your performance can enhance it. It can improve it. And it can't lose it either. Can you rest in being on the dean's list despite the fact that you have done nothing to earn it? And can you just stand in amazement and sing Amazing Love? How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Can't you do that? Why not? Why don't you want to have that joy? Might I encourage you, figure it out and figure it out fast, because God does not want you to just be ho-hum on any given day, struggling, straining to have peace and be comfortable in your Christian skin. He wants you to have joy unspeakable. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. On this Barna survey, rather interesting, what with the times we're in. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans believe identifying moral truth is up to each individual, while barely 4 in 10 say God is the basis for truth. The findings are part of the American World Inventory released by George Barna, who is the director now of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian. A total of 58% of U.S. adults agreed that identifying moral truth is up to each individual. There are no moral absolutes that apply to everyone all the time, according to the survey. Surprisingly, 48% of adults identified as born-again Christians agreed with that statement. I'm arching one eyebrow like Mr. Spock. According to Lee Munsell, president of Arizona Christian, we're living in an America increasingly unmoored from its founding in biblical truth. Even in the most basic questions of life, like how we make moral choices, we're choosing to lean completely on our own understanding to decide what's right and wrong. When Americans were asked, what is the basis of truth? 42% responded God, 16% inner certainty, and 15% scientific proof. Other answers included tradition, public agreement, there is no truth, and the ever-popular don't know. Evangelical church attendees, Pentecostal church attendees, and born-again Christians were among the most likely to say that God is the basis of truth. George Barna said, as a nation, we're becoming increasingly self-reliant. We trust ourselves or our discoveries rather than the truth principles God provides. This diminished role of God in people's lives highlights why just 6% of American adults possess a biblical worldview. Barna also said, it's one thing to lack theological clarity regarding biblical perspectives on immigration policy of the end times. It's a much more serious condition when the general public rejects God as the source of truth. Lord have mercy. According to an executive order that President Trump signed on Tuesday, advancing America's first freedom around the world is a, quote, moral and national security imperative that is fundamental to human flourishing. The order makes international religious freedom a high priority for U.S. foreign policy. The State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development will receive $50 million for programs that help oppressed people of faith. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and USAID have 180 days to develop a plan to focus on international religious freedom efforts. The order asks Pompeo and others to review how to leverage economic sanctions on countries that severely oppress religious minorities and requires more State Department civil service employees to undergo training on international religious freedom issues. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 732 AD. At the Battle of Tours, Charles Martel turns back the Muslim invasion of Europe. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Europe became the new center of Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's hope this is the right button, y'all. No, that ain't it. Take two. Let's hope this is the right button. No, that's not it either. That's the one right there.
And the agony of defeat.
This is professional radio at its
spinning the globe on the most professional Christian radio program on this station at this time. Barely. I got a new toy. And it doesn't have labels on it yet.
Did you rip the tag off the mattress, Todd?
Can't hear you. The new toy isn't adjusted yet. Let me just hit the button. This is, what did you say, Joey?
Did you rip the tags off the mattress?
I wish I had. It's fascinating how technology advances and how it indicates and reminds me again what a complete... I'm not real bright. Todd, we didn't need that blast of information. We understand that loud and clear every time you open up your yammer. When we originally began this radio program, at least in this studio, however many years ago, we have a big, in fact, the carpet stain, well, it's not the stain. You know when you have a piece of furniture on carpet and then you move it years later and it's like, oh, is that the original color of the carpet? I had no idea. I'm looking at that on the floor right now because that's where the big box used to sit. That had all of the radio equipment in it. All of these knobs and bells and whistles. And that's what it took to make all of this stuff happen. Now, there's one little box on my desk. That's it. Smart people, technological people, scientific people who do brilliant things. This is man in one of his finest moments. Creating something like this, technological, understanding scientific principles, and then putting them to work for what? For the edification of human beings. Absolutely brilliant. This is science, by the way. Evolution, it's not science. Now, there can be scientists who go about the business of saying, we've done some experiments, but it's all interpreted through their lens of presuppositions. It's not science to look at a bone and go, this is what I think he had for dinner on Tuesday night. You can't do that. You can't recreate what happened supposedly billions and billions of years ago. That's not science. This little box right here. Oh, wrong one. This is science right here.
And the agony of defeat.
That's amazing. That's Jim McKay from, what, 50 years ago? Coming into your ears?
It's a time machine?
Honestly, this stuff like this, I don't know how people build this and go, there's no God. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how an optometrist looks into another set of eyes and concludes, no God. Absolutely amazing. All right, so there we go.
The thrill of victory.
Agony
and
of defeat.
The agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. Oops, I pushed the wrong... Oh, no. Oh, now I've done it.
Joey, honestly, don't you sometimes just want to unplug the whole thing? And
I usually just wait for Todd to do it.
Let's get to stories from around the globe, shall we? Oh, you gotta just love the world. The world that exists to annoy you and then tells you how to not be annoyed, only resulting in more annoyance. That's what the world does. It causes you angst, and then it gives you a prescription for your problem, which only increases your grief. Happens all the time. This from Fox News. Is there any other reliable source on the planet? Fox News, saying the F word might help take away the pain. Research affirms. This too... is not science. This is just a hoot to me. I'm sure they're well-intentioned people. They are bright people. They've got diplomas on the wall. This is not science. Dropping F-bombs can possibly help increase a person's pain threshold. Research has shown. This is why I think that we fall victim to scientism. This to me is an example of scientism. If a scientist says it, well, it's got credibility. So you're telling me that uttering a word, one in particular, by the way, not all the words, just one in particular, somehow helps me to not hurt as much when I hit my thumb with a hammer.
Well, Todd, I don't think it's the specific word. I think it's just if you have a word picked out.
No, Joey.
Wait, this is mantras.
I've read the story, though. Yeah, I know. Argument by mantra. No, this is argument by lab coat. Well, the scientist said it. How dare you judge it? Well, you be the judge yourself. Hey, wait a second. You be the judge.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call.
So close.
Hold on, I got you. That's not it.
Yep.
There you go. Judge. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. So, Friel. You can't handle the truth. Order in the court. What would have been the possibility? You got to the studio early and, I don't know, put some labels on those buttons. Well, it would be a possibility, but that would make us sound professional. Dropping the F-bomb will help you with your pain management, according to a pain management experiment. Using made-up swear words that don't garner the same results. See, Joey, right there. I know
was
science.
Wrong.
The original 2009 experiment suggested, there's the key word, that swearing under the right circumstances can increase a person's pain threshold. To test the theory, a British psychologist from Keele University conducted an experiment which people immersed their hand in ice-cold water. The act of cursing enabled them to withstand more pain, the findings suggested. The simple act of swearing during the experiment enabled participants to perceive decreased pain and tolerate increased pain. Science Alert has reported. This is not science. Are all of the hands that went into the cold water, are they the exact same hands with the exact same wiring, with the exact same nervous system? No. So it seems to me your baseline is faulty.
Well, what are they measuring?
I mean, well, you put your hand in the water.
They're measuring what people report? Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
How does it feel now?
So at best it's a soft science.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now you're catching up. I'm bellowing and yelling, I'm distracted. Mm-hmm.
That's true too, isn't it?
Duh. The pain's not going to be as bad.
Hold on.
Get me a pen. We're going to be rich, boys.
There's another test whose findings were published in April. Had 92 participants utter made-up swear words to see if random words yielded any benefits. While putting their hands in the ice water, the testing subjects repeated one of the four words every 3 seconds. The F word, a neutral word, and two made-up swear words, touch and twizz pipe, were also used.
But they didn't let them choose their own swear words.
The F word was linked to 32% increase in pain threshold and a 33% increase in pain tolerance, according to the publication. The made-up words had no beneficial impact. Quote, while it is not properly understood how swear words gain their power, it has been suggested that swearing is learned during childhood and that aversive classical conditioning. Ooh, aversive classical conditioning. This is smartness here. To the emotionally arousing aspects of a swear word use, the researchers write in their paper, which was published last month. This suggests that how and when we learn conventional swear words is an important aspect of how they function. Somebody got paid for that. Y'all, that is not science. And yet the world, more than ever in my estimation, and I would render as evidence to the jury, COVID would be a great example of that. A scientist says it, that's it. There's no questioning. There's no other perspective. There's no other consideration. Science reigns in our society, which is why increasingly you are going to look like a Christian dope when you believe God created the world. And by the way, speaking of which, there was a study that was done. Hold on, I got you covered here. Right here. How many creationists are there in America? And the answer to that question is
12.
Oh, no. Here's what they did. This is from Scientific American. How many creationists are there in America? Well, 18% with question one. But when questions one and two were asked, it was 31%. You know, just a little disparity depending on how you ask the question. So if they asked, which statement comes closest to your views? A, humans have always existed in their present form. B, humans evolved, God had a role. C, humans evolved, God had no role. That's the question. And then 18% said, yeah, humans have always existed in their present form. But if you asked which statement comes closer, humans have always existed, humans evolved, and those who said evolved were asked about the process, which statement comes closer to your views, God had a role or God had no role, then the number goes up to 31%. Moral to the story? Science is not always science. And statistics and research are not always conclusive because it kind of depends on how you even ask the question, which is why when we enter into the arena of ideas, we do not use statistics in debate. We use the Bible. This is Wretched Radio. Is this the button right? Here we go.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's it. As they say in the old country, thanks for being here. We do truly appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. The question is, do you receive, are you receiving, or have you received the Wretched Newsletter? I believe that's how you conjugate the Wretched Newsletter. The Wretched Newsletter is this nifty little item that comes out every month. In it, you will find thorough, in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that face Christianity. You'll also keep up to date on all the happenings here at Wretched. And there are always things happening here at Wretched. Now, by my totally blind-in-the-dark guess, there are 17 people that don't receive the Wretched Newsletter. Don't be one of those 17. The Wretched Newsletter is absolutely free, and all you have to do is go to wretched.org/newsletter to sign up. Easy peasy. So if you have a moment, and you're not driving, why not sign up right now? wretched.org/newsletter and get signed up. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Since Poetry Open Mic Night's been canceled, I thought I'd read you some wretched poems I've been working on. Become a gospel partner. That would be a delight. All you have to do is visit our website. Become a gospel partner. You'd be supporting this ministry if you'll just give to us financially. Become a gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate, or else we make you redo grade 8. Okay, listen, I never promised you'd be great, Wretched Poetry. After all, open mic night was canceled. But would you still please consider becoming a gospel partner? Every dollar you give helps Wretched continue to spread the gospel. But without our gospel partners, well, honestly, there is no Wretched. If you're already a gospel partner, thank you. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, visit wretched.org/donate and prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner today. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible.
When you desire wisdom, look to the book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whose hands have been officially duct taped. This is Wretched Radio. I can't play with the toys anymore. Let's get to an assorted bunch of this and that that all has something in common with... Well, that's not true. It really has nothing in common with anything, pretty much. Here we go. I'm devastated and I am shocked. The Wikipedia co-founder said the site's neutrality no longer exists. It favors leftism. I can't say
no,
it.
No, that can't
so.
Be.
That's not possible, is it? Christian, could there come a day when we no longer are allowed to share our thoughts on these social media platforms? And the answer is yeah, it really is. Didn't the president recently sign something, though, to try to permit space for conservative voices on these platforms? I believe he did. Seems to me, though, anytime an executive order is signed, the next guy signs the next order and unwinds it. It's not a secure sort of deal. I also saw, by the way, I thought this was positive, $50 million the president is giving toward religious freedom globally these days. Thanks to government implementation, $50 million is peanuts in that world. Nevertheless, it's something to try to ensure religious freedom. I think I'd like that money just spent in America first, because we could kind of use it right here. Speaking of the president, for whatever this is worth, from the Christian Post, belief by church attendees that Donald Trump was, quote, anointed by God, on the rise among white Protestants. Why do we have to do this? Why does everything have to be of skin color? Why do we have to do that?
Just because.
Was listening to Vody Bachum. Where did his name just go? Vody Bachum. The presentation that he did at the Truth Matters conference on identifying people by skin color as either melanin challenged or melanin abundant. And it seems that so much of it in our country, he rightly points out, is just black and white. Wait, I understand the history of that, but you know, there's other shades out there. There's other ethnicities. And yet it seems to be just the two people groups, which makes one wonder if some other ethnic groups are feeling a little left out from the conversation. Nevertheless, a reminder from him that melanin does not make you a different person. It just gives you a different shading. That is all. How dopey are we to be fighting with one another? I mean, seriously. How does this not reveal? Does racism not reveal how far away we are from God-like thinking? And this is one of those moments, in my estimation, when eschatology soars. I have to confess, I don't think a lot about end times, but this is one of those instances when I think we should. Consider the issue of racism and what we see going on in our country right now, and you think, whoa, this is unfixable. Wrong. Read the book of Revelation. Who is in God's kingdom for eternity? Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Who fixes the racism problem that you and I don't have a chance to suddenly magically cure? God does. Not only that, he uses our foolish animosity toward one another to bring peace among us and then set us on display for all eternity and go, yeah, here's another thing I can do that you can't. I can bring all these people together with one new identity. And that is why the gospel is crucial when it comes to this conversation. Because it is the thing that strips all of us of our identity. You're not that anymore. Don't you dare call yourself a black Christian, or a white Christian, or a yellow Christian, or a rich Christian, or an anything Christian. And it doesn't belong. None of it belongs. In fact, that was the terms of the deal. When you entered in, you said bye to all of that. It's all gone. Now, does that mean you're not aware that you're a boy or a girl, that you're black or white? No, you're not. But that's not your identity. You don't care anymore. I'm a Christ one. That's who I am. I've got it stamped on my forehead. It's got to be about Revelation 21 in the neighborhood. Because I remember reading it just the other night and going, got a stamp on our forehead that says we belong to Christ. Now, figurative or actual, the point is the same. You belong to Him. Your identity is Him. And the more we strive toward that, the less we see the distinctives that divide us. And when we remember, when God wraps up this whole show and this clam bake is shut down, the gazillion problems, and it's not just black and white in America, the Chinese, Japanese, it's every country, they've got their issues. They've absolutely got their issues. And if you don't like to use the word racism because you believe that the word power was correctly imported into the word racism, that only people who are in power can be racist, okay, then what do you call a bad attitude towards somebody with another skin color? Don't call it racism. I don't care. But you have to call it a sin, right? So that sin, whatever you want to slap on it for a moniker, it's bad, and it exists everywhere. And we clearly cannot get a handle on it. God does, brings you in, Jew, Gentile, gone, slave, free, gone, rich, poor, gone, male, female, gone. And for all of eternity, He makes a point in the book of Revelation to go, all of these people who used to have animosity, all of these people who couldn't resolve their issues, I did. And I'm going to set them on display for all of eternity, and I'm going to delight in it. He's going to what we fight over, He delights in, because He demonstrates He's a whole lot bigger and stronger than we are. What a joy to consider. And you didn't think the book of Revelation was all that helpful. Among white Protestants who attended church once a week or more, belief that Donald Trump was anointed by God has increased from 29.6 last year to 49% this year. Wow. Oh, maybe they just did that poll at Liberty. I don't know if that's the case or not. Here's one for you. I don't know if you saw this. Render your verdict on this. In Virginia, you have to wear a mask to go outside. That's their rule. Is that true in California? I don't think it is in California. I think they highly encourage it. But in Virginia, I believe the governor signed something and said you got to wear a mask when you go outside. So Jerry Falwell Jr. said he didn't like it, but he'll do it because he put a mask on that had a picture of the governor of Virginia. Remember the high school photo album picture?
The blackface.
Yeah, the blackface picture. He put that on there. Yeah. Back to the mailbag we go. The goal was to kill as many people as possible. The persecution of Christians. From Gatestone Institute, Pakistan. A group of motorcycle riding Muslim men kidnapped and gang raped two 12-year-old Christian boys. The children were playing video games at a local arcade when a gang of Muslims approached and lured them to check out and eventually sit on their motorcycles. Once the boys were atop the vehicles, the men rode off to a remote field where the young boys were beaten till they submitted to the demands of the Muslim men, at which point the 12-year-old boys were molested. I've got 9 pages of those stories. How many would you like to hear? How many do you need to hear before you call out to God to ask Him to save these people who do wicked and cruel things, that God's Spirit would blow and He would conquer the nations through the proclamation of His word, the distribution of His inspired word? Well, how many would you like to hear before perhaps that it causes you to go, oh God, save the nations, stop this? Because these people are not going to stop unless they have a heart transplant. Want to hear a bodacious prayer? Lord, use the distribution of your Bible to conquer the nations without ever shedding a drop of blood. Distribute your Bible. I always think of that when I'm thinking about Bible League. Seriously. Sorry, I know that this is going to sound like a plug because, well, it actually is going to be. But nevertheless, I always think, Lord, please just take over the nations, distribute so many Bibles that these Muslim men read it, get convicted of that sin and every other wicked sin in their heart, repent and trust in Jesus Christ, so that one day every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every false religious system is represented there, conquered by your word going to work. How many stories? If you want to support Bible League, by the way, wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. It's $5 a Bible to distribute God's word to Christians who are begging for it, who are the families of these boys that could use some comfort. Imagine not having a Bible. Your kids go through this, and you don't even have a Bible to run to the Psalms and find comfort, or to read about your sympathetic high priest who can say, I understand, come to me. I'll give you peace. I'll heal your broken heart. Bible League International, $5 a Bible. wretched.org/Bible. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.